Well, this episode of the Let's Go Eat Show takes a kind of a disgusting turn, I have to tell you. This time we're interviewing Carrie Drage and Dorian Drage, and they are the proprietors, the whole Drage family, are the proprietors of the company called Creature Encounters. Now, usually on the Let's Go Eat Show, we sit down with some people and we eat some food and we talk to them about what they do. Well, on this episode of the Let's Go Eat Show, we are not the ones doing the eating. There are creatures eating things. There is a visual component to this episode, and if you have the stomach for it, I would suggest that you go to the Let's Go Eat Show Facebook page. Go to letsgoeatshow.com, the letsgoeatshow.com, find the Facebook page, and watch some of the videos as Carrie and Dorian proceed to feed snakes and lizards, rabbits and mice. Yes, they feed these animals other animals. It's pretty amazing, and it's an astonishing thing to watch. You can't believe, I mean, you hear tell of constrictors, boa constrictors, eating whole rabbits. Well, if you've never seen one do it, you can see it in conjunction with this episode of the Let's Go Eat Show. Carrie and Dorian Drage and all of the little Drages have been involved with creatures all of their lives, and we talk about that. What drew Carrie? He's the patriarch of the family. What drew him to love animals and creatures of all kinds, and then his love of these animals just went over to his kids, and his kids now are all involved with it, and it's a money-making concern for them. They can bring these animals, birds and lizards and snakes. They can bring them to birthday parties and corporate events and to schools, and it's a very fascinating thing. Also, right at the end of this episode of the Let's Go Eat Show, I eat a live mealworm. Maybe I shouldn't have given that away, but I think there are pictures of that as well. So I did do a little eating of my own. It'll be, you'll see how I did it. So anyway, sit back, relax. Maybe you shouldn't have anything to eat before you listen to this episode of the Let's Go Eat Show featuring the Drages, Carrie and Dorian Drage, and the Creature Encounters. Also, I want to thank Dylan Allred for producing the show. And here we go.
I'm probably the one who will make the most noise here. You know, let me put my water bottle down.
That's how he's made his career, being the one who makes all the noise. Thank God you make so much noise.
Yeah, that squeaky wheel, man.
Yep.
Creature Encounters. This is a little bit... This is a little bit different edition of the Let's Go Eat Show because we're actually not the ones that are going to be doing the eating. We have some creatures here that are going to be eating things. And I don't know how much of it I can watch.
I've never been more nervous for an episode of the Let's Go Eat Show than this.
We're here in a backyard in... Sugar House, and we'll just let it go at that. That's we're in a backyard, and it's a lovely little oasis in the backyard. And we're here with Carrie and Dorian Drage. They are two Creature Encounters. And when did we encounter you guys, Carrie? And how did we encounter you guys some years ago?
Actually, it was Richie inviting us down to the studio to do a segment on, Ask an Expert.
Oh, it was to just ask an expert about animals and snakes. And
we must have answered the questions right, because then we went and did your son's birthday party.
That's right, little Bill's birthday party in the backyard.
Yep.
Creature Encounters, and you're both, Carrie is the patriarch of the family. Don't say the old man, say you're the patriarch of the family.
I'm the patriarch.
And Dorian is the eldest son of the family, but the whole family is involved in Creature Encounters. Spend time with the animals, it says on their shirts. They're both wearing the shirts right now. And how long ago did you decide that this was going to be a business, Carrie?
it was, I think, in 2007 that we did it. I've been doing presentations and stuff for 35 years.
With reptiles?
With reptiles and arachnids and things like that. While I had other things that I was doing as a career. Mm-hmm. And then I had the opportunity in 2007 to make creature encounters the sole thing that I do and put my time into.
And when we say creature encounters, you have all kinds of animals, like reptiles and spiders. And
Reptiles, arachnids, insects, and birds.
You have birds as well.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Where did your interest develop in this, and how did that all start?
Well, I was fascinated with living things and stuff really, really, really young. And at that point in time, my parents allowed me to have a fish aquarium with fish.
Here in Utah? You were here
right
in
here
Utah?
In Utah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I got that fish aquarium, and then I soon saw some other cool things, like, oh, I could put a newt in there. And so I started putting a newt, and then, oh, well, those crabs will go in there.
Yeah,
and I started getting crabs and different things, then when I got a little bit older, you know, I saw the lizards. And
Wait, can I stop? What's the difference between a newt and an eft?
And an eft?
An eft. You don't know.
One of them is something you made up, apparently.
No, EFT. Google it real quick,
right.
Will you?
Uh-huh.
EFT.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, keep going.
The rule was it had to live in a fish aquarium. But
at your house. That was your family.
Yeah, I was in with my family. But then all of a sudden I realized, well, I can dump the water out of this fish aquarium and put a lid on top of it, and whatever's living is still living in the fish aquarium.
Uh-huh.
And I had a friend go with me, and I had a pet lizard and stuff living in a fish aquarium before my mom and dad knew it was in the basement.
Do you come from a big family?
I do. Six brothers
kids,
and sisters. Yeah.
Six brothers and sisters in your family.
Yeah.
And what part of Salt Lake did you grow up in?
Up in the East Mill Creek area.
Yeah. And did your brothers and sisters get into this as well? Did they like it?
Not really. My sisters, they were tired of finding dried up newts in their shoes and dead crabs in the bottom of their closets.
Yeah, God. We once when Dylan was a little kid, we had a fish tank at the house, and we saw at the pet store they had crabs that you could put in there. So we got this crab and put it in there, and it was kind of fun to watch. But the crab was always like, kind of, you know, coming up to the top, and it was like he was wanting to get out.
He had to go up to breathe.
Yeah, and then one day, he disappeared. He got out of the tank somehow, and I mean, he was just a little tiny thing. And I mean, we never found him. But it just freaked Dylan's mother out so much she just couldn't stand the thought of that goddamn crab. You know,
the crab's name was Waldo.
Was it?
Yeah.
Damn crab that had gone off and dried up somewhere in the house.
Oh yeah.
She couldn't stand. She probably still thinks about it to this day. Occasionally, they still live in the same house.
Oh geez.
Oh, that crab corpse is here somewhere. I know it is.
So
you had lizards, and then you graduated to snakes.
Got some lizards and all that, and then didn't graduate into the snakes right away. I got into birds a lot more.
You like
birds?
They were
a lot more tolerable, you know. And so,
but they couldn't live in the aquarium.
No, but they had to change the rules because.
Okay.
Anyway, but then when I got married and...
You found somebody who would marry you.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Let me ask you this. So you're growing up with this love of the creatures.
Right.
Of all kinds. And it's a learning thing for you as well. I mean, you studied them.
Honestly, it was really the only thing that got me through school. Because not the greatest student. But if you put something in my hand or let me see something, I'll remember everything you tell me about it type of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So in my art classes, I'm painting or drawing, you know, animals.
Yeah.
In my class that I need to write a story or something, it involved animals. And I could get into that doing that.
Yeah.
And literally everything I did through grade school, it was all related to the animals somehow to keep my interest in the project.
Did you have some thought that this could be... did you go to college after high school?
I did, and I studied biology and stuff again. But then again, I could not realize why I had to learn novels and why I had to go to Jay Welch's music class because I was learning biology.
Yeah, Yeah.
I just.
So you know? Did you like want to major? Did you think I'm going to be a zoologist or a?
I honestly just wanted the knowledge. I didn't know that it would translate into a occupation or anything. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Just didn't.
I just knew I was interested.
Yeah. So what did your career end up being?
I actually worked for O.C. Tanner for a point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then and that's because it offered me a job that paid me to be able to raise my family and everything.
You have a beautiful ring on here. Did you design jewelry for O.C.
Tanner?
There's
a guy named David Resnick that designed that has a shop on the pier at Redondo Beach.
Is that an octopus? Yeah. That's really nice.
Yeah. And so that's where I started. But then I had the opportunity to move into the private pet store, and I ran a private pet store for like almost 15 years. And
there you go.
Then I was headhunted by PetSmart when they came to Utah, and then I was a director for PetSmart for 11 years.
Yeah. So you were able to translate your
Correct.
Love of
right.
animals into
yep.
yeah into to and yep. then creature encounters.
And I saw, hey, you know, I've had all the fun I can have out of working for a corporate person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can do this, and that's when Creature Encounters came a full-time thing.
If you look at our website, you know, the letsgoeatshow.com, you'll find pictures of mm-hmm. the Drages, and you'll see that Carrie is a hippie. And were you always a hippie, like working? Could you be a hippie working for O.C. Tanner and PetSmart?
Yeah,
they let you. They let
Except
you.
Except for
that.
I had to wear shoes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You don't wear. He's barefoot right now. You don't wear shoes. I can't. I'm one of those people who can't stand to be barefoot. I can't stand it.
Yeah. When I've had situations where I've had to have shoes on, they've just been oversized things that just kind of slide yeah. over the top.
So you raise a family, and Dorian, you're the oldest of the family, and your father's love of creatures just rubbed off on you because you're as involved and as crazy about it as he is, right?
Or,
Yep. It was 2007 when we had the opportunity to start it. I, fortunately, at the time, was working at a place that helped people establish businesses, so I had the tools at my fingertips to set up, you know, the official documents for an S-Corp and the accounting and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was really just into animals. I went to school and got my zoology degree.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That must make you pretty proud, Carrie, that you did that.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Yeah.
So I went to school, it's kind of the same thing as Dad here. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I just knew I liked animals and I loved animals. Mm-hmm. So I knew I'm going to go do biology.
So you guys start Creature Encounters, and you had, by this time, you already have a menagerie of animals. How many, at that time, do you know when you started it, you were sort of doing it as a hobby, I guess, right, Carrie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd been doing it for a long, long, long time, just mostly for friends and family and stuff like that. I did it representing the pet stores that I was associated with.
Mm-hmm. So the pet stores would say, even PetSmart would say, great.
I was the media director for PetSmart, so mm-hmm. they loved it.
Yeah.
A lot of publicity.
So you'd accrued a menagerie of animals over time. Do you know, have any idea at that time how many you have and how many you have now? Do you keep sort of a stock of that?
Not really. I have a lot. I have a lot. All of our animals, though, aren't all in my location. Some of them are with, like Dorian has some. My other son has some.
Mm-hmm.
In order for them to be able to be taken care of correctly and have enough space. Also, my grandkids are just as interested in the whole thing now as it ever was. But I think that's one of the things that makes us unique is that even if there was no Creature Encounters, we would still have all this. I mean, these are pets. Mm-hmm. These have names. You know, these are
cared for, really?
They're cared for like family.
Yeah, before we started recording, and I was setting up, and they were loading in animals. They were saying, "Sally and the thing on her nose?" And like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, at first was just overhearing their conversation. It's like, oh, they're talking about nieces, nephews, cousins. No, and I realized
no, that was
about,
that's our big albino Burmese
shedding
name, Narcissa.
Narcissa.
And she's getting ready to shed, and she broke the shed on her nose.
That's right.
To do the shedding process. But that's just a normal conversation at a restaurant, or no matter where we are. For us, we do get the strange looks from the table next to us when you're talking about something like that.
Just did for a minute. I thought, oh, they're just talking about their family, and then they're breaking the shed on her nose. Oh, no, these are their animal family.
By the way, did you find F?
I did. So
an F.
What I can find, and it took a little bit of looking.
Yeah. EFT.
EFT is basically a regional name for a newt, but it also can be used to describe a juvenile newt, a very young newt.
A young newt.
Oh, okay.
You can call a baby newt an EFT.
In its juvenile terrestrial stage.
Okay.
Those are fascinating.
I learn something every day.
There you go.
Those are interesting animals. Can you talk a little bit about newts and salamanders, just as a like, sidetrack on that?
Well, you know, it's an amphibian.
They're fascinating
awesome.
Animals.
Yeah, they're awesome animals. Yeah. The thing about it is people don't think that they're as diverse as they are. They think they're thinking of this little 4 to 6 inch long thing and all that stuff. There are salamanders that get 4 feet long.
Really?
That live in Japan, and they'll bite your hand.
There's a giant, it's called a hellbender. And they're 4.5 feet long, and they can get to be, you know, around the long ways of a football, and they're carnivorous.
They have an interesting life cycle. They start out in water, right, and then they move to land. Is that how it works? Kind of like a
they'll have an external gill, and then some never lose it. Some retain that through their entire life cycle, and then there's others that will. They lose it, and then they become more terrestrial. There's another animal; it's called an axolotl.
I've heard of those.
Yeah, and axolotls have really flamed external gills. But one of the neat things about axolotls, I don't know, I can't remember the term. When I was a keeper at Hogle, we had them. The term for it is it's an animal who's basically in its infancy through its lifespan. Mm-hmm. So it's not a baby, then a juvenile, then a teenager, an adult. It's constantly in this infant state through its entire life.
Yeah.
But it has amazing properties of regeneration. They've used research in axolotls because they can just regenerate whole limbs because they're technically in their fetal/infancy.
Huh.
So
one time we were at Liberty Park. And we were leaving. We were there. I don't remember exactly what we were doing there, but we were leaving. And we had the kids with us, and we're standing by the parking lot, and we hear this weird noise. It's kind of, what the hell is making that noise? And I look down in the drain, and there was a big old salamander down in the drain.
They'll bark at you.
Yeah, it was making this kind of barking weird noise. Yeah. It was kind of a trap down in the drain, and I managed to get it out of the drain, and I think I went over and put it in a fountain or something. I don't know what I don't remember exactly what. He was kind of green and black, and he was real pretty.
Yeah, they leave the water for the absolute need of it, but they never get rid of the part where they still got to have moisture for their scales. And so you find them under the rotted logs and in rotted logs and under leaf litter because they do still have to maintain moisture on their scales.
So anyway, back to the menagerie. Just you have give people an idea of the range of creatures that Creature Encounters has.
Well, we have insects, which include cockroaches, which a lot of people don't quite understand.
Yeah, my wife is not a fan of the hissing cockroaches.
But, cockroaches and millipedes, centipedes, all that kind of stuff, you know, they're fascinating, you know, the life that they live. Then you go, you know, you got your reptiles, and reptiles are so, I mean, because that covers turtles, that covers the lizards, that covers snakes, you know, all those different types of things. And then the birds, and out of everything, the birds are the hardest ones to deal with and care for because they're intelligent. They need to be entertained. They need, they act out like a 2-year-old if they're not getting what they want.
They'll sulk.
Yeah. Well, they scream for attention. They do bad things for attention, including pulling their own feathers out if they're not being entertained enough and their mind isn't being worked enough.
What kind of birds do you have? What variety of birds do you have?
We're with the African greys and double yellowhead Amazons.
And we, you know, we should point out too that all of these animals can be brought to you for private parties and
Just before this, I did Washington Elementary's summer school program. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of summer school programs. A lot of businesses do summer picnics and all that kind of stuff. Not quite sure what to do with kids, and so they have us come because a lot of them are held at parks and things like that, and we'll bring our animals and come to the parks, talk to the kids, and educate them. When we're working with kids, the biggest message we have is we want to take the kids to consider themselves a parent of that pet. So we refer to ourselves as pet parents, not pet owners, pet parents, because a parent wants the best for their children. And if you have a live animal in the house, that has now become your responsibility. And so it's your job as a parent to learn all about it and do the things to take care of it. And you do that first before you get it, not after you get it.
You know, we brought two kids with us today. As a matter of fact, we're going to let them interact with the animals in a minute, but
should we tell them that's a biting turtle?
Yeah, they know better. They know better than
they
that.
Know better. Yeah,
we'll see.
Charlotte has birds in her house, and they had one. They're parakeets, right, Charlotte? You have parakeets, is that right? Or that was, and they had one little parakeet whose name I think is Petey. Is that right? The first one you had? Is that his name?
Sky.
I don't know why I thought it was Petey. Anyway, Sky. So Sky has, because Petey is a name.
Petey is just a bird. Yeah.
Just give it. Yeah. So this That's Sky right. doesn't have is missing a leg.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that happened, but here's the story that I know so far. So they had Sky for some time, but Sky seemed lonely. So they bought recently another parakeet to put in the cage with Sky. And I just heard this story the other day when I was picking my daughter up from Charlotte's house. So they buy this other parakeet because Sky seemed so lonely. They put it in the cage with Sky, and Sky is just mean and kept attacking it and just couldn't. And was just, it just was not. And this relationship, if you'll forgive the pun, was not going to fly. This one-legged bird was just bullying this other parakeet. So they had to take it out and put it in a cage. And then that parakeet seemed lonely.
Uh-oh.
So they bought another parakeet to put in the cage with that one. And that seems to be going okay.
Sky had his own space for a long time, and you're not going to invade my space.
So
and there are a lot of animals that are that way.
Yeah.
There are a lot of animals that are that way.
I know when Dylan was little, we had a dog called
Foster.
Foster. And little Foster was a little apricot poodle mix of something. Cute little dog and very fine, wonderful little dog. And then we adopted another little dog, an ugly little, it was an ugly dog called Kiddo. And the minute Kiddo came into the house, Foster went into a deep depression and stayed that way for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Just moped around, just lost all of his energy. And I mean, he lived for several more years, but he just lost all of his energy and just moped and became grumpy and kind of like,
And the same thing happened when you brought my little sister home after you adopted her.
I think it's an animal that deals with situations with emotions that does that.
Yeah.
Because a snake doesn't do that. You can introduce another one in there and you're pretty much. But anytime you deal with these animals that can give and share emotion and you can kind of feel that stuff, they do. They're territorial. You can break their heart by bringing something else around. Yeah. I mean, my kids will ask me to watch their dog for the weekend while they're gone, and I have a cat that just runs away from home. He refuses to stay home.
Yeah.
And then once they're gone, Swarley's back.
They all have different needs and personalities and stuff, but I guess it's kind of better dealing with the snakes
No emotion.
Yeah.
You know everything they're going to react to is instinctual, and if it's a situation that Mother Nature would have never given them the instincts to know about, they decide by the experience they're having.
For all the years that you've interacted with snakes and reptiles and stuff, none of them seem to have any kind of personality at all?
We have a lizard, and it's here today. Mm-hmm. It's called a tegu. Her name is Helen.
Tegu.
If any of them appreciates and has a want and desire to be in human contact, it's that lizard right there.
And that's kind of the first time you've ever really seen it?
Yeah, because here's the thing, like with a snake, if they had emotions, they would be able to make a rational decision on something.
Yeah.
And I could have a snake for 20 years, accidentally or forget to wash my hands after handling rabbits, go to pick up my pet snake of 20 years, he sees this warm, smelly thing in front of him, and he bites it.
Yeah, that's what
there's
I
no
do.
There's no emotional disconnection.
That's what I do.
Yeah, there's no emotional thing. Oh, I'm not going to bite him because he's taking care of me. No, instinct. Oh, food. Grab it.
How about the big turtle? The big turtles and those creatures.
I don't know if it's personality that's putting human emotions on it, but there are, like, you've heard him rustling this entire time.
Yeah, he's trying. How big is that? What's that guy's name?
That's Dozer, and he's a sulcata tortoise. Right now, he's probably about 50-55 pounds. He's maybe 8 years old.
Here he's coming out.
Sulcatas can get 200 pounds. And, yeah, like I said, it's the third largest tortoise species. This is an African desert tortoise. You're not going to find this anywhere locally, but they are very common pet tortoises. The sad thing about that is that it probably shouldn't be a common pet tortoise because you go to the pet store and you buy it when it's the size of an apple maybe or smaller.
You're going to feed it some strawberries here.
But then in 8 years, you've got this 50-pound tortoise that's going to live 80-plus years, and it's going to need to be at an 80-degree temperature year-round. And when you live in Salt Lake, that's hard to do year-round, especially for such a big animal.
As you run this business of creature encounters and Carrie's had all animals now for all these years, and Carrie, if you have animals so that you've had, what's the oldest, the longest time you've had an animal that, you know, you still have?
That would probably be 12 years, and it's a snake.
You have a snake for 12 years.
Yeah, but we do have a tortoise that's 42 years old that's documented from friends and family that we got it from.
But
I didn't have it from
you
the,
didn't have it for that
from
long.
The very beginning. No.
Have you thought about making some provision about what happens to some of these animals that you know live a long time?
Oh, there's
that
a
are going to outlive you.
Well, see, we've got 6 sulcata tortoises, which are going to, and most of them have already been claimed
by family.
Oh yeah, by family.
That's my tortoise. I get to keep that one, and then I'll pass it on
to
my
kids. Biggest one that's 110 pounds, that's actually one that I ended up in my yard because Dorian got that one. And when he lived in a situation where he couldn't take care of it, he came over to my house. And gosh, how much do you think it weighed when we got it over there?
We originally thought it was a female, and I called her Bianca. I got her in Cedar City. That's where I went to school. And I got her in 98 or 99. Mm-hmm. And she was, when I got her, maybe 4 or 5 pounds. And now, you know.
She's 110 pounds.
And she's not a she anymore.
It's a big male.
Oh. I got her.
Yeah, I got her thinking, because it's hard to tell. The physical characteristics are hard to tell when they're young. You can't. Those sexual mature characteristics don't happen until they get older, but he's definitely a male. And back to the personality thing, he runs the backyard. The other tortoises that we can bring to the backyard, it's Digger that determines whether they can stay there or not. Because if he wants to be dominant, he will just he'll ram them, he'll flip them over, he'll fight them, and we've lucked out in that we've got Dozer here and a couple others that he's deemed not a threat or
acceptable. It's just fascinating to watch him eat.
Strawberries are a treat. Tortoises and most reptiles love the color red. They like tomatoes. They like strawberries. This is something that, you know, strawberries and fruits are maybe 25% of their diet. 75% of what we feed that animal is grass or dandelion.
You must have some idea of what your monthly feed bills are for something like this.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, I've been doing this for so long. I have developed friendships and things with people who raise rabbits for a living for show or something, and maybe they don't
Smart.
Yeah, I said rabbits.
We're gonna get into that, and I think we're gonna put it on film. Right now, we're filming. You're filming the tortoise.
Yeah. There will be a lot of videos from today's episode on our website or on Facebook. Let's Go Eat Show on Facebook. So any of these animals we talk about that you want to watch, go ahead.
Eat.
Yeah.
Watch a turtle eating strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Most of the snakes and animals that I have that are going to eat a mouse or a rat or a rabbit, we try and order in bulk and we feed unthawed frozen. It's cheaper. It's easier to feed, and when we get into feeding, I mean, if you feed your snake, you need to watch. If you're feeding live, you need to watch that snake bite and kill, and then get ready to consume that that animal. Because if it doesn't bite it right, that rat could be chewing on your snake's eye. If it doesn't eat at all, you go back 3 hours later, and that rat could have gnawed a big hole into your snake. I mean, so with as many as I have, I don't have to worry about the dead one that I put inside there hurting it if it doesn't eat it.
And they're fine with that. The snakes, the turtles.
You got to trick them a little bit, some of them. They don't take them right off the bat. But as soon as they learn, you know, with repetition of what's going on. Because Mother Nature's kind of told them, you might not want to eat something that died because whatever killed it might kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them I have to do some pretty crazy things, you know, some of them to get to eat rabbits so it's big enough so they're not still doing rats. I may have a frozen rabbit that I've unthawed, and I may put two live rats running around in a tote with that. They sent up that rabbit to smell like a rat, and now that snake will take it because it's taking a familiar smell. Even though it's a rabbit. Oh, you got to trick them.
how did you learn that? Did you read about that, or was that trial and error?
To me, it was just common sense and a natural thing to do. I didn't read about it. I just did it because, well, that should work.
Yeah.
With the experience of everything, this should work, and it did.
I want to talk a little bit about insects. The arachnids, the spiders, the scorpions, all of those things that you have. Yeah, we should get a picture of that. Both the drages are wearing scorpion belt buckles. These are who made these for you guys? Did you get the pictures?
It's a gentleman that actually comes from Taiwan, and he just buys them from somebody over there. I'm sure he doesn't make them.
So you just those aren't your scorpions that got preserved in there.
No,
the scorpions are fascinating to me. I've been stung by scorpions a couple of different times. I think I might have told you that. Once when I was camping in southern Utah, and I'm pretty sure that's what did it, because I woke up and both of my eyes were swollen shut. It's just like I woke up in the morning and in my tent, and I couldn't see, and I look in the mirror, and like and it didn't really hurt. They were just all puffy. Yeah. And I thought, what the hell? And then when we were, and they sort of went down a little bit, I put some cold water on them, And then when we were rolling up our sleeping bags and stuff, two little tiny scorpions underneath the sleeping bags and the ground cloth. And I figured that's got to be what did that.
Yeah, they can scorpions. So there's roughly 1,700 different types of scorpions in North America. There's only about, I think, 14 to 17 of those that have a toxin potent enough to harm a human. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is they're rated on pain, not necessarily if it's fatal or not. Some scorpions are more likely to sting just because they're more aggressive, and that's their nature. The ones we have, African emperors, Asian forests, and flat rocks, they're just a bigger scorpion that are more likely to use their pinchers to overpower their prey than they would to use the venom. And so for that reason, their venom doesn't have to be as potent. So if I were to get stung by the scorpions that we have, the first aid for it is wash it with cold water and take an ibuprofen. It's not go to the hospital. Yeah. It's not. Now, the flip side of that
is it weird that I didn't even feel it that in the night?
No, because it really can be that quick. It can be just a pinprick.
And I was probably drunk when I went to bed.
And so, you wouldn't feel it anyways. You know,
so I wouldn't have felt it anyway. And then I was in Texas one time and went out into a barn, and this damn scorpion ran up and stung me on the ankle. I mean, it's just like, I'm going to get you. And that kind of hurt.
Yeah.
But it didn't swell up. Or it really didn't even swell up. Just left a little red
it
mark.
It hurt you or your feelings because it ran up.
Well, both. But it got kind of hurt. I mean, it hurt. It was, you know, but it didn't swell up. That one didn't swell up. It just left a red mark.
Yeah, I had one time. His stinger got wedged in my cuticle of my thumb. This was during a show. I was doing a thing for scouts at a church, and it got stuck. Luckily, my little brother was there with me because I just kind of, I'm going to go over here now. And I just went over into the kitchen and got it off, and then I just didn't, you know, draw any attention to it. But by the end of that presentation, my thumb was completely swollen.
Yeah.
And that's really all that happened. I mean, I wasn't worried about anything. Yeah, I didn't need to go to the hospital or anything. I just knew.
What about the element of danger? And I've seen Carrie. Do you have scorpions with you, by the way? No?
No, I didn't bring any of them.
Oh, yeah,
you want me to put one in my mouth?
I did. He does.
Quite, by the way, which is the only place I've been stung by these black emperor or Asian scorpions.
It's on the inside.
It's in the inside of my mouth.
Yeah, why are you laughing at that?
Because it's
something's wrong.
Because he's stupid enough to put scorpions in his mouth.
That's right.
And I've seen him do it.
Oh yeah,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
yeah.
And did it in the movie The Lone Ranger, mm-hmm. Which didn't make it into the final cut of the theatrical release. But are you on the extras on the DVD?
Yes.
Yeah, they were in scenes of that doing it in some... You too, Dorian, or just Carrie?
It wasn't me. It was Jordan, my other little brother. The scene's called Hell on Wheels. You can find it on YouTube. And they're just... It's when they're going to see Red in the town, and the horse goes by with Armie Hammer and Jack and Johnny Depp on it. And in the background, you can see their heads on a table, and their eyes are all blacked out, and they have, you know, scorpion tail mustaches, and the scorpions are just walking out of their mouth onto the table.
It must have been fun.
If you go to YouTube and look up a featurette, it's a 90 second featurette of Hell on Wheels. It shows them filming us doing that, and Armie Hammer, who plays the Lone Ranger, is standing in the background. He turns to the camera and he goes, whatever went wrong in their lives that they started putting scorpions
that's what
in
I
their
say.
Mouth?
I guess.
Because he
I'm
wanted,
with Armie Hammer
he wanted
on this
nothing
one.
To do with it, but yeah. Johnny was fascinated by everything.
Yeah.
We've got pictures of him holding all the animals and all that. He was just fascinated by all of it.
Did you? Was that a pretty lucrative little gig for you to do that?
Oh, I'd like to do it again.
Was it made some money?
Yeah. We went to Santa Fe. Was there for?
It's a great town, isn't it?
Yeah, awesome, awesome.
And you spent some time with Johnny Depp and Armie.
Yes,
I mean just hanging out.
Well, he was into the animals so much that if we weren't on set and I didn't need to worry about the snake charmers with snakes, and Jordan could handle that, we were in his trailer with tarantulas and snakes and scorpions. Yeah, he was just fascinated by it.
Is that the first time you've ever done anything like that, movie work?
That was the first time I did something like that.
There should be a pretty good call for that. Have you looked into expanding into doing more of that
stuff?
We
have, and we've had calls, and we're in a couple of music videos for some mm-hmm. groups, and we're in a couple of short films. We're in a short film that was done right here in Salt Lake for October Evening, which is an event that's put on at the Masonic Temple for Halloween.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it was Circus Acts Gone Wrong. And so I go up there and I present the scorpion to the crowd and I put it in my mouth and it comes out and then I proceed to go into a bloody convulsion and fall to the ground.
Oh, you're just... You know, part of this is... did you know growing up that you're also a ham? did you have any...
Yeah.
Did you ever gravitate?
Yeah, I got sat in the corner of the classroom quite a while.
Yeah.
Many times for visiting or...
You're outgoing and like to perform.
I was sociable for social media, you know,
Like to perform. Did you ever perform?
I did. I was in the school plays in junior high. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. Now, where do we want to go with this? Tell people how they can get a hold of Creature Encounters, and this will all be on our website. And
Give us a call. Pretty much, you can find us online too. Facebook is really good to see what we're doing, to see all the pictures. There's hundreds of albums of all of the things that we've done. So you can, depending on what you're looking for, we've probably done it. You can look at photographs of it. The phone number is 801-860-4155. We go from Ogden to Provo to Tooele to Park City, and we've even gone further than that if needs be.
And there's you can kind of tailor what you want. You know, it can be small, it can be as big as you want.
Presentations, you wouldn't believe how many four-year-old birthday parties I do. Yeah. Well, you can't get too technical and too crazy with four-year-olds. So we tailor it. They're big with tortoises. They're big with the smaller lizards, and they love the smaller snakes. But, yeah, we deal information and what's to bring. Some people can't deal with tarantulas and scorpions, so they don't come to their party, and there's extra snakes. I've done a Spider-Man party where all we had was like 18 tarantulas there.
Mm.
And we've done snake parties where all it was is a corn snake or a king snake or a boa constrictor, or, you know, different yeah. types of snakes. We can put anything together that someone is interested in. Yes.
I was never keen on the, as when I first met you guys, holding the tarantulas. And then when I finally did it, I thought, well, this is actually kind of cool. I kind of liked it.
They're good at it.
Yeah, they're just kind of, I don't know, they're nice. I like them. I know what I was going to ask you is we were talking about the scorpions stinging you and your thumb swelled up and that. There have to have been, over the years, some accidents. That have involved. I mean, do you get bitten occasionally by these creatures?
Before you answered that, turtle might be escaping. So, like in the next hour, you might want to chase him.
They're pretty fast. Really.
Slow and steady. He's trying to go get in the car. Just like the tortoise and the hare. Those tortoises, once they start moving, they just don't stop, and they'll push furniture, chairs, barbecues, anything out of their way.
And the bigger they are, the more they can push.
As far as accidents, we really haven't had the accidents that we have are with us.
Yeah.
I've been bitten. Carrie's been bitten. Family's been bitten. From what I can remember in the 8 years that we've had this as a professional company, we've had two instances where we had a baby snake bite one of the people that we were.
Yeah, and I wasn't thinking about that. I mean to you guys because you're around them all
the time. If you own reptiles, it's not a matter of if you get bit. It's just when. A funny thing, my daughter is starting to like snakes in the last reptile expo. Yeah, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
And
so this may be your chance.
The last reptile expo that they did at the fair park, we got a new snake. It's a Woma. It's called a Woma. They're from Australia. They're a desert snake. They're really pretty. She really wanted it, and so my stepmom decided to buy it for her. Well, we buy it, take it over to our booth, and within the first 5 minutes, she gets it out and holds it, and it latches onto her finger. And she was just kind of... She knew she couldn't really react to it because we're at our booth.
It's not good to go running around screaming with a snake hanging off your finger at the reptile show.
I just kind of blocked her from the public. We walked around to the back. Dad walks back. We just like, okay, just relax. Set the snake down. Let it relax. It will let go of you. So set the snake on the table.
Is this hurting her?
It's hurting. It more is a shock thing. As soon as the initial bite happens, of course, she screamed. And then she's apologizing to us for screaming. Once it let go, she grabbed it and she looked at me. She had a smile on her face and she was like, my first bite. Like it was a badge of honor.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, I got my first bite.
Oh, I have an interest in a lot of snakes and stuff. So I own snakes that I know will bite. I know snakes that if I take them out, there's a very good possibility it might. But I have learned how to handle them so I can stay away from it. But I would never take one of those kind of snakes to a public event and ask the public to take that. We had one little girl that got bit in the tummy because she'd been holding rabbits. And we had a baby snake that was 2 feet long that smelled that rabbit on her tummy and kind of bit her tummy.
Yeah, probably and, good to bring the rabbits
and
out
then,
after the
snakes. Well, and then we went and did her birthday party 3 months later.
She was fine.
It was a startle.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try to use and train. I mean, the snakes are with us quite a while. Some snakes are a little head shy. If somebody touches their head, they pull back and stuff. And it's not really aggression. It's them being nervous, like what's going on.
Yeah.
But it startles somebody when they're holding them. Today, if you'll notice, I could stick the snake's head in my mouth, and they're not going to do that because I teach them not to be head shy. Mm-hmm. I over and over and do it over again so that when they recall this happening, that it's not a negative experience in any way, and so it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, knock on wood, we have rules, we have situations, we have watch, we have so many people in booths. We can tell when they're tired of being handled, and that's why we have so many. We do a Comic-Con, you know, we bring a lot of stuff because the snake's out for a couple of hours, and it gets to sit down and go away, and somebody else comes out, and we're still standing there. I wish there was a new me to come out, you know.
Union of the snakes.
But, yeah.
It's Duran Duran, I think.
And he's right. If you're going to own a pet snake, it's not, you know, if. It's when.
Well, maybe it's time now to Creature Encounters to feed animals, and you want to get the it's time to Let's Go Eat. It's the Let's Go Eat show.
Let's go eat.
Where do you want to start? What do you want to? What's the name of this snake?
This is called a Burmese python. The snake's name is Jabba. He is probably around 10 feet, and I'd guess he's probably around 45 pounds.
Oh man, he's beautiful.
Yeah, he is a gorgeous snake.
We're going to feed him a rabbit, not a live rabbit.
Nope.
As we were talking about earlier, he's really pretty shiny. And looks to be just about as healthy as anything.
Yeah, he definitely is one of the ones that's not shy about eating.
You can hold that back away from your mouth just a little bit.
Okay. So you can see how he's using a hook because you don't really want your hand in the way of that.
Ooh, man. And he just curls right around that snake.
Now, what the constrictors do, he doesn't know, it makes no difference to him if this rabbit is dead or alive. He's going to go through the same process. Yeah. What he's doing is, in the constriction, they just squeeze the animal, and then as the animal exhales, they squeeze tighter, and it leaves no room for them to breathe back in.
We have bunnies at home, like baby bunnies that we grew from this little tiny little, you know, so I thought maybe Flora would be upset. But it's the circle of life, isn't it, my dear? It's my daughter's. What did you say?
As long as it's dead.
Yeah, as long as it's already dead, you don't mind it that much.
So you can see he's got his mouth open on the head.
Let's see.
And what he'll do is...
I can't see where his mouth is. Oh, I see, yeah.
You can see the...
How did he figure that out?
The heat-sensing pits they have on the front of their face are very, very sensitive pits.
So he figured out right where the head is the minute he...
Mm-hmm. And even if a snake... Yeah, if a snake grabs the animal and doesn't grab it by the head, they'll still maneuver around and start the head. Now, sometimes they'll screw up and they'll start on the back end. But for the most part, they don't try to start eating from the middle. Mm-hmm. They grab it from the head and they'll start. And that also is just biologically, the limbs will all lay down so that they can actually swallow it. Because if you were to try to swallow it any other way, those limbs could be a problem.
Now, he's starting to relax a little bit.
Yep.
Because he's sure that the animal is dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure that the animal is constricted to death.
And everybody kind of knows that they can... People say that they unhinge their jaw. They technically don't unhinge their jaw. It never unhinges. There's a ligament that stays there, but they can open it wide. Now, they can open it the way that everybody imagines, but they also, on the bottom lip, they have a separation on their bottom lip, and their bottom jaw can actually separate lengthwise.
Let me ask you this. First of all, I should, for people who are not watching a video of this, you can. This is a full-size rabbit. It was an adult rabbit, essentially.
Yeah.
It had been frozen. This was a frozen rabbit. You got it in a frozen state, or thawed it. When was the last time this snake ate?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks. So
something this size, I feed about every 2 weeks. If they're going to shed, that might extend it, because at the end of the 2 weeks, if they're in a shedding period, they will not eat, and it may take another week. So it might be 3 weeks in between feedings.
So do you have to keep – you have a number of snakes. Do you have to kind of keep a written record of when you feed them?
We have a desk calendar, and it says – and it has the name of every animal and when it ate and what it ate.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like he said, during the shed cycles, they may not eat. And some smaller snakes, this guy's fine to eat every 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Some of the smaller snakes, they need to eat every week.
Uh-huh. Now he's – what's –
He's just maneuvering around to the head now. He has very small teeth all around in his mouth, and they all angle backwards. So as he eats, those teeth, if this were a live, struggling animal, it would help kind of anchor it in so they can't pull back out.
How long is it going to take him to swallow that thing?
Probably
that
10 to 15 minutes, it looks like, on the pace that he's already going now.
Really? That whole thing can get down inside that snake in 10 to 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Is there something that the snake is also using to dissolve the creature at all, or is it just this point?
They have really strong digestive enzymes in their stomach. When he digests that animal, they will digest everything. When he finally has his BM and urates, there's nothing left.
Mean when he takes a crap?
Yeah, when he takes a shit. When he's done,
yeah, okay.
It'll be nothing. It'll be the hair, the bones, the teeth, every part of that animal is digested. Because this animal in the wild, he may not know when the next meal is coming, so they need to use every bit of nutrients that they can.
Your brother's going to be so jealous when he finds out that you got to see this and he didn't.
Her other brother, not this.
Yeah, we'll
one.
Let him.
Her other brother,
because I don't want to make him nervous and not eat. So we'll let him go.
Be shy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he might be just more curious about what's going on because, like I said, he eats a lot and he's definitely not. He's not hurting for food. So if there's a lot going on, he's. Might just be more curious about us than actually eating.
So now what else have we got here that we're going to feed? We've got some other animals here on the Let's Go Eat show.
This is called a red tegu. This is a South American lizard. This is the one that is a very intelligent lizard.
This is the guy that you say might have some sort of a personality.
They've actually done clinical research with these animals where they do seek out attention. So it's a little more advanced of a reptile. Now, this is an omnivore. Helena here, she likes strawberries, she likes bananas, but she also likes rats and mice.
Oh.
And she needs that variety. Now, you watch the way she eats. She doesn't chew pieces off like humans do. She just chomps and swallows whole.
Now, you say she needs both fruit. She needs fruits, vegetables, and she needs protein.
She needs the protein, yep.
Yeah.
So she'll eat cockroaches. She'll eat other... We can catch a grasshopper in the backyard and give it to her. She'll also eat these small rats and mice.
And again, this is
been previously frozen and now thawed, and she'll... It's kind of like a crocodile. If she were to try to eat something that was too big for her, she would grab it and whip her head around to try and tear it. Because she's not going to use her claws to tear it.
Mm. Where does this animal live in the wild?
South America.
She's very pretty. I mean, just real... Looks... I mean, it's prehistoric. It really is absolutely prehistoric. They've used these lizards in countless bad horror movies, bad dinosaur movies.
Oh yeah, the tegus and monitors are not exactly the same, but to somebody who doesn't know, they're pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're very smart. They can get very large. Yeah, you can see how she's probably going to whip it around anyways because in her mind it's the same thing as I need to kill this.
Yeah.
And they don't do it by constricting it. They do it by, you can hear, smashing the head.
Ooh.
And by whipping it around.
And that mouse is just going right down her rat, I guess it is.
And you can see how she has to do that jerking motion because she's not using her arms to pull it in. She just has to do a little jerk to force it down the gullet.
Is that a Norway rat? they're delicious.
Ratatouille. There he goes.
Ah, Helen. What a fine lunch you're having. Again, you can see all of this at the letsgoeatshow.com or on our face, probably on our Let's Go Eat Show. Facebook would be the easiest place to see it because it's so video friendly, right?
Yeah. The thing with this too, Bill, is this guy is not a lizard that if you're a starter, this is not the lizard you want for a pet. This thing, the humidity requirements are huge. It has difficulty shedding because we're in such a dry climate.
Uh-huh.
The diet is he'll eat this. The snakes will eat every 2 to 3 weeks. This guy is going to eat something like this every other day.
Yeah.
So if he does this every other day, then he's also shitting every other day.
Yeah,
and it's not pleasant.
Got to clean it up.
So
you have to keep him in a terrarium of some sort that's got.
And she wants substrate to dig. She wants to burrow. She wants to be 90 degrees some of the day. She wants to be 70 degrees other times of the day. It's a difficult pet to have.
Yeah, a tegu. Now, there are lizards like this. That would be good pets, right?
There's bearded dragons is what we'll pull out next, which is the same. It's a lizard. It's from Australia. A lot of people around here liken it to a horty toad.
Yeah,
it's in appearance. It's similar, but it's different than a horny toad. But this is a lot easier pet lizard. If you're going to get a pet lizard, bearded dragons for our climate are definitely easier. Now, this is also an omnivore. It wants fruits and vegetables, but it also wants cockroaches and bugs and mice.
Okay,
so we do.
Oop! There's a live cockroach. Oh my god! Just went right for it. That's great.
And Little Bill knows about this because he raises those dubias.
Well, he doesn't do that
anymore. He's not doing that anymore. Well, he stopped doing that.
Yeah, the Little Bill does not raise the cockroaches in the house anymore. No.
Yeah, I think Mom probably had something to say
about that. Well, I forget what the problem is. It's a little more difficult to do that than you really think of. Let's see. We're going to see if we can hear them. Well, that other one's stupid. Yeah.
The other one ate quite a few at the school.
A little crunching sound. Oh, one's on. Oop. Escape! Yeah, you can hear them kind of.
Yeah. So these bearded dragons are definitely more popular as pets. I think they're a great lizard. You can tell that they're active. Again, the personality thing, they're just more inquisitive.
They almost seem to be friendly. And you get a little.
And this is a little pinky mouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's a live mouse there. That's kind of sad.
So the stuff that we can feed live is the stuff that we don't have to worry that it's going to possibly hurt what we're feeding.
Yeah. And those little. They're just
newborns.
Yeah.
But we also have bags of those frozen. We also buy those frozen. They come by bags of 100.
Yeah. I'll eat them frozen in the summer. But, does that make you sad, Charlotte? A little bit? No, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah. I guess he's not hungry. Yeah. And do they have names, those two?
I think this is Pebbles and Maximus.
Pebbles and Maximus. All right.
Yeah.
And what kind of snake is that, girls? What is that?
This is a California king snake. You can actually find these in Utah, way down in southern Utah, in like Hurricane and St. George.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about this snake, they're called a king snake because they actually eat other snakes. You can get on YouTube and look at videos of California kings eating. They actually eat rattlesnakes.
Really?
They will go, they'll stalk. Well, they won't stalk. They'll just kind of wait as rattlesnakes go by, and they'll lunge out and grab the back of the snake's head so that it can't bite. And then swallow it live.
Now, what would be this? Is this a what size is this snake? Would you say is this average size?
Yeah, this is. They may be able to get a little bit bigger than this, but not much. This is probably around a full grown. Kind of like humans. Some humans can be 7 feet tall. Some only get to be 5.5 feet tall. It's the same with a snake. This species could range anywhere from 4.5 feet full grown to possibly 5.5 feet full grown.
Oh, that. Now you're telling me that snake can eat that. Mouse.
If you look
that
at the
rat.
If you look at the biggest part of a snake's body, look at the biggest part and then double that circumference, that's the size of prey it should be eating.
Oh, the Let's Go Eat show. Yes, indeed. This is really I don't think I'll be eating for the rest of the day.
It's the circle of life. Now, I'm not going to say I don't like eating. I enjoy eating, but I would tell you there has been times in my life where I was like, man, I wish I could just eat an 8-pound something and not have to eat for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I've eaten that much where I have eaten that much where I thought, I bet I'm not going to eat for another 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
What kind of snake is that one?
This is called a carpet python. This is native to Australia, and it's an arboreal snake, which means it spends probably 80% of its life in trees. So that's why it's really comfortable just on their shoulders.
Well, why would they call it a carpet python if
it spends its life in
trees?
I don't know. But that
doesn't make any sense.
That's why
that
snake's name is Shag.
Shag rug. I got it. Do you find that most... I mean, you occasionally find people like Gina, my radio partner, who just won't eat dead rats. Just won't touch snakes and won't have anything to do with them.
We've actually got Gina to hold
finally,
something.
It was
at her little Jonesy's birthday party that we did. She held one of the snakes only because we convinced her to because Johnny Depp had held it.
Yeah. But
I'm like that. I'm not touching any of these snakes. Oh,
look at that. Now, what? That's the carpet python.
That's the carpet python, and that's just a little bit bigger rat. And you can tell that snake is not shy at all about eating it.
No. Man.
Now, I have to warn you, the pressure that they put on them, at some times there can be an abdominal blow.
What?
What? But they squeeze around it too hard.
Oh, guts will come out of
guts can come out of the back of end.
And I think that's a nice way of putting it. It's an abdominal blow.
Abdominal blow or a posterior exit.
I've had those as well. There's been occasion I've had Rhodesia.
Had too much to eat and you have a little bit of an abdominal blow.
Yeah, it can happen. So they grab it. And then they can it's interesting to see that if you see that in slow motion. That
I
action.
Bet I can make that
it's
happen.
Very, very fast.
Yeah, that action is just astonishing, isn't it? What they can do. Now, let's see what we've got here, the progress.
So now we can see here on
the
Burmese, this is Jabba again, and he is halfway down this rabbit, and you can see how well he's stretched.
Now, when a snake like this has eaten, is eating a rabbit like this, a full big snake, and it's a full size rabbit, they must be pretty vulnerable at this point.
They are fairly vulnerable. This is probably the most vulnerable time that they'll usually try to go someplace safe to do this. Now, they do have exit strategies if something were to happen. If he felt threatened, this snake could immediately regurgitate that animal. If he needed to evacuate, he could just spit it right out. Because if it's a matter of his life, he needs to get away. And snakes can even do that after they've eaten the entire thing. If it's a giant python and it's ate a 20-pound boar or something, and if it gets in a threatened situation...
A 20-pound boar.
Which they can do. If it gets in a situation where it feels threatened and it can't move because it's got that bulk in its body, they'll just regurgitate it. And so that's why after we feed him, we'll leave him alone for at least 48 hours to let him
digest.
Yep.
Is the tortoise missing? Kind
of? I'm sure we'll find him.
Uh-oh. Let's make sure he's not out in the street. Right there. Did you find her? Find him? He's out in the street. The tortoise is out in the street.
They just got to keep moving. They don't have to move fast. They just got to keep moving.
Mealworms? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big cup of mealworms there. Delicious. And we just saw Carrie eat a mealworm. Because, do you want to get that on film? Do you mind eating another mealworm, Carrie? Alive. Now watch, they're wiggling, and Dorian will do it too. And do you have somebody who will kiss those mouths after you've done that?
No.
No? you will? You'll eat one too?
Well, she'll take it with a shot.
Okay. No, I'm not eating one. Are you kidding me? I don't have any desire to eat a mealworm. I've eaten... Delicious, right? You know...
It does not taste like chicken.
No. You know, it's... Now, I really don't have any... horrible objection to that because although live is a little creepy, but those chapul bars that somebody here in Utah makes, and it's with ground up mealworms, isn't it?
Crickets.
Is it crickets?
Crickets.
I've eaten those, and I don't have any big objection to that. And I think the world as a whole is missing a great source of protein.
Oh, it is.
By not using insects.
Well,
more.
The part is, it's mostly our part of the world because there are many parts of the world that use that.
Years ago at the state fair, and I'd had them before, but these were fresh. There was a guy up at the, I think it was up at Utah State, who was into doing fried grasshoppers, and frying them up, and they'd fry them up and put them in a soy sauce with salt and soy or teriyaki, I think, with salt and stuff. But they were really good, you know.
It's bland.
Gabriel caught one once, and he roasted it.
That's right. I remember, yes. He caught a grasshopper. Little Bill caught a grasshopper and roasted it and ate it. Well, there you go. Feeding time is done. Carrie and Dorian Drage have eaten live mealworms. So here on the Let's Go Eat show.
I think they're going to try to get you to do a shot of tequila with a worm in it.
I don't... Well, with the live worm, you mean?
Yeah, you just put it in your mouth and you just chase it with the... You just swallow it. You don't have to chew it.
I will do a shot
of tequila. We call this a group tightener. This tightens the group. This is what we do at family parties. This is a...
Is it really?
This is a group tightener.
Now, is this the kind of worm that you would find in a bottle of tequila? Or not tequila, but a mezcal?
Yeah.
Mezcal?
This is what you would find. And I really don't know the purpose of that. I don't know why they do that.
I don't either.
People say that it soaks into the worm, and you eat the worm, and you're going to get that much more of a...
If you drop the worm in the...
You could do that. Yeah. You can drop it in and then just swallow it. Or you can put the worm in first and then do it.
I'll do that, but you have to put more tequila in.
I was going to say, we got to make Bill's a double.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to make mine a double. And if you drop a worm in there, I'll do it.
Doing worm.
Here now. Okay. So go ahead, drop one in there. Here, let's wait. Wait. Okay. Who's doing the dropping here? Go ahead. Go ahead. What? Oh, okay.
You're going to drop it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Here's mine, Hillary.
Okay. Hillary's getting one, too. All right.
Cheers. Let's eat.
Cheers. Let's go eat. Make mine a double. I felt it go down there.
It's hanging on to his oddly shaped ego.
It did for a second. I could feel it. I could feel it just kind of stop there on the uvula for just a second. Creature Encounters, thank you so much. Carrie Drage, Dorian Drage. And if you want Creature Encounters to come to your parties, your corporate events, it's very affordable.
For the number of people that we can entertain for the price, it's very, very affordable.
Yeah. Just look for them on Facebook. Creature Encounters, that's probably the best way to go.
That's the best way. We're on Instagram, hashtag Creature Encounters Utah. You can look us up. Our website is creatureencountersutah.com. But Facebook and messaging on Facebook is really the best way to do it.
All right.
Remember, we videoed all these animals and took pictures. That'll all be available on our Facebook page and linked from our website. And make sure to go check out all those videos and pictures.